Glenn tonight. Continue to remember him. I think he wasn't exactly sure that he was on tonight, but that's in the Lord's hands, and I think he will do a fine job. We're going to turn to Obadiah. Obadiah is just one chapter there. It's stuck between Amos and Jonah. We're going to read the first 14 verses. Obadiah, the first 14 verses. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is set up among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thy heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock. Whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exaltest thyself as the eagle, and though thou settest thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mouth of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered in his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on the affliction in that day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Obadiah, with a vision from God, pronouncing judgment on Edom and Esau there. For those who are able, let's reverently kneel for prayer.
Good evening. It's a privilege to stand here tonight and look into your faces. I'm glad each of you are here. This is a great crowd tonight compared to some that I've stood up in front of, like down at New Freedom. This is multiplied several times compared to some of those audiences. But we are blessed to have the promise from God that where two or three are gathered together, Jesus said, there will I be in the midst and to bless. And so we will be blessed tonight. Tonight, the title would be Obadiah, a servant of the Lord. And as we think about this obscure little, maybe you would think insignificant book sandwiched between Amos and Jonah, and if you aren't careful, you flip right past it when you're looking for it. Think again, because one of the verses I shared with the 13 to 15 this morning was 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, including Obadiah, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That word profitable, and is profitable. And a number of things that are listed there. It's profitable for doctrine. that we would see what the Scripture teaches and what the truths of Scripture are for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly, that may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so there's something in Obadiah. It's the Word of God, and it's something there for each one of us. Obadiah was faithful, as all those prophets were, whether they were in a larger book like Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, fairly large books, better known than these little minor prophets as they're referred to. But they all were obedient. They all did what they were asked to do. And they had to give very unfavorable reports sometimes, prophecies of what would happen to a certain people. But when they were obedient to God, they gave it. And what a blessing we've had today to be able to gather as usual. It's been this way all the 62 years of my life, where we almost take it for granted, don't we? That we get up and we come to church on Sunday. And we enjoy the fellowship, we enjoy the encouragement of our brothers and sisters, we sing together, we pray together, and we hear God's word expounded. I don't think that'll be forever. No, not even in this blessed, wonderful land of America. And so we better take advantage and come together like this while we're so favored to do so. Very, very important subject this morning from Brother Dustin. Very well done. And more than ever, people are pushing aside the idea that it's even important to be a member of a local body. But we see from God's word that it is very important. And we're thankful for that reminder and all the blessings and the responsibilities. And we've heard that at council, I believe, Brother Larry, and being thankful for all the people we voted for and everything that goes into this corporate worship. Starting with the church being opened and the lights being turned on. And during the week, the place being cleaned, and so much happens, and so much is taken for granted. And yet, if it isn't done, you would soon notice, and things wouldn't be as pleasant, and things wouldn't be as comfortable. And you have choristers who faithfully lead us in praising the Lord in song, and just so many things. And the teachers that are never noticed here in this auditorium, who are faithfully Sunday after Sunday down there in the basement, faithfully sowing seeds in the hearts and the lives of little ones. So much goes into it. And they grow up, and one day they lead singing, and one day they teach, and one day they preach. But right now, these faithful brothers and sisters are down in the basement, out of sight, teaching them. So God bless everyone, and just bless your ministries, whatever they are. And then we don't see the person who faithfully prays. We don't see the old widow woman who faithfully prays for those that are sick and for those who have gone astray. And those prayers go up daily, and that prayer warrior is not noticed. And so the giver. And nobody knows what to give, because we're told not to let the one hand know what the other gives. Thank you, Brother Derek. You took me back almost 23 years tonight to when we gathered here for my mother's funeral, and we sang 539. It's almost 23 years. And then we met very recently, and we repeated that hymn at another funeral, my Aunt Geneva. Safe in the arms of Jesus. That's where you want to be someday. Well, that's where you want to be now. Let me correct myself. That's where you want to be now and forever. And there's nothing in this old world that is worth interrupting that, that is worth sidetracking any one of us from that goal of being safe in the arms of Jesus from all of life's labors and all of life's troubles. Obadiah, his name actually means servant or worshiper of Jehovah. The time of this prophecy is not certain. The author, Obadiah, of whom we know nothing except his name means servant of God, worshiper of God. 12 others have this same name, Obadiah, in the Old Testament. So you have to, and that's true with other people's names as well. So you have to be a little careful when you are reading scripture that doesn't lead to total confusion, because the same name can be used over and over, and there's actually 12 others with this name, Obadiah, servant or worshiper of Jehovah. It's indeed the smallest book in the Old Testament. And like I said, going from the one before it, Amos, to the one past it, Jonah, I just saw both of them just lifting up corners of my pages here. It's very small. There were 4 significant invasions of Jerusalem during Old Testament times. If we could know which invasion of Jerusalem Obadiah refers to in verses 11 to 14 here that Brother Dustin read, then we could date the writing of this prophecy. But we're not sure which one it is. It's quite possible that Obadiah refers to the second invasion, when the Philistines and the Arabians invaded during the reign of Jehoram, King Jehoram, from 848 to 841 BC. The theme of Obadiah is the doom of Edom. Who is Edom? The descendants of Esau, brother of Jacob. That's important as we go down through this prophecy tonight. Edom, they were the descendants of Esau, and Esau, the brother of Jacob, the twin sons of Isaac and Rebekah. Important to keep that in mind. And as we consider that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, and Obadiah is profitable, as we see doom and destruction and judgment come upon a people, we can be challenged by that individually, that we would not fall into the same sins and the same irresponsibility that Edom fell into. Number one, they were lifted up with pride. And so we can take that individually. We can also take it as a congregation, but we don't get a lot of preaching here about the sins of the nation. I heard a preacher on the radio years ago that did that a lot, and maybe more preaching, and I'm sure it should be more directed to the local congregation. But Dr. John Rawlings, my dad would hurry in to walk after Sunday night church. He always took us Sunday night to church, but he would hurry in to walk, and he'd get that radio on. And Brother John Rawlings from Cincinnati, Ohio, Landmark Baptist Temple, would come on the radio, and he would preach. And he would hammer away at the sins of the nation. But to his credit, I also remember him very clearly saying, "I'm speaking to you people of Landmark Baptist Temple, you sinners right here at Landmark Baptist Temple." And that's how he would speak to them. And somehow or other, with the Lord's blessing, it wasn't one of those in and out pastorships where if you don't speak what they want to hear, you get sent down the road. He was there for years and years. So, yeah, God apparently was blessing that ministry there. So the theme of Obadiah is the doom of Edom. And I can't help but believe that there is impending doom of America. And how are we going to handle that? And how are we going to react to that? And it will indeed be a time of personal, individual testing of your faith and mine. And I don't want anyone to fall during that time. Some of these scriptures that are in the New Testament are very clear about things like Jesus saying, you know, marvel not if the world hates you. It hated me first. The servant is not greater than his Lord. What the Lord went through, the servant will also, you know, should expect to go through. So keep this all in mind as we look at this. First of all, tonight, concerning the doom of Edom, we look at verses 1 through 9 as a section here. And then 5 through 9 is another section, and 10 through 14 is a section, and then 15 through 21. It breaks up into those sections of Scripture. But the doom of Edom here in verses 1 through 9, in verses 1 through 4, we have the certainty of it. We have the certainty of the doom of Edom here in verses 1 through 4. And A key verse there is verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? So they were trusting in their physical geographic location. We're rock people, we're cliff people, we're mountain people, and nobody can scale these things, and nobody can get over these high walls of rock, and this is where we live, and we have a natural fortress. Who can bring us down to the ground? And so they're proud about it. And it's where their security is. And if we haven't learned it yet, I trust we do before it's too late, that we learn that our security is not in man. Our security is not in any government. Our security is not in any human earthly leader. Our security tonight is in God, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. But their security was in themselves, and what they felt was an impenetrable fortress of rock and cliff that they lived among. But they would find out that this wasn't exactly so. I find it interesting, some very parallel verses in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 49. Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 16 and 17. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill. Though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Where are we safe from the Lord's judgment when we lift ourselves up in pride against him? What happened to Lucifer? Pride goeth before a fall. And the Bible very clearly says in James, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. It says also in verse 17 there in Jeremiah 49, also Edom shall be a desolation. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. They were proud. Who could harm them? Who could bring them down to the ground? What a location. Verse 3 describes it there, a nearly impassable natural fortress around the capital city of Petra. Petra means rock. The terrain around Edom was very rugged and with abrupt cliffs and deep ravines, huge masses of rock, wild, rugged, almost inaccessible, you would think, for any enemy to come in there. And so in all this, the Edomites put their trust. But her doom is repeated in verse 4. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Jeremiah said about the same thing. The doom of Edom, verses 1 to 9 here, and the certainty of it, verses 1 to 4, and then verses 5 through 9, the completeness of it. And again, we have scripture in Jeremiah chapter 49 that parallels here, verses 9 to 11, Jeremiah 49, 9 to 11. If grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some gleaning grapes? Wouldn't they miss some, maybe even on purpose, is what they did, so that some poor soul could still find some? Grape gatherers come to thee, won't they leave some? If thieves by night, they will destroy till they have enough. In other words, the thief won't take every last drop or every last crumb. The thief will take until he's satisfied, and then he'll go. But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret places, and he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, and his brethren and his neighbors, and he is not. Speaking of a complete destruction and doom for Edom. And here in our text in Obadiah, you know, 5 through 9. Thieves came to thee there in verse 5. If robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? The grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee, prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Yeah, it says about the wise men there in verse 8. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? I can't help myself but to think of America. A nation that thinks herself wise. The more she turns away from God, the haughtier she gets, the more proud she gets. We can do this with our understanding. We can do this with our wisdom. It's obvious that it's not as clear as people thought all these years. When that baby is born, whether that's a boy or whether that's a girl, you see where the wisdom of man is going and how pathetic it is. God is going to have the last word against all such foolishness. And nations that push this kind of thing, push surgeries that destroy the lives of young people, because this boy says, I'm a girl, and this girl says, I'm a boy, and they push this from the highest levels of government upon the people. And a statement was even made that doctors that refuse to do these things are being cruel to the children. How about right being wrong and wrong being right? The wisdom of man is foolishness with God. It tells us that in Romans. The completeness of the destruction of Edom and of all those who defy God. It's so complete, there's not a grape left behind. When the robbers come, there's nothing. There's not a penny left behind. It is thorough. It is complete. There's nothing left. Nothing can be kept from our omniscient Lord. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Not one thing can be hidden from the Lord God Almighty. God knew Esau's heart. He knew the hearts of his descendants, the Edomites. He knows your heart and he knows my heart. He knows the heart of America. He knows the heart of Pleasant Hill. So complete there in verse 8 was this destruction and doom of Edom that even their understanding was taken. You're in bad shape when you can't understand things anymore, when your clear mind and sound mind have been taken, and what's making sense to you is utter foolishness. That's where these people were reduced to. Their understanding was taken. To many in this world and in America, abortion is good understanding. After all, it makes a lot of money. And that's what this world revolves on. Money and fame and power and control. To the point of selling baby parts because it's valuable and there's money in it. That's the understanding here on earth, which is so contrary and so against God Almighty, who rules from heaven. And he sees it all. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The denunciation of Edom, verses 10 through 14. We have the complete doom of Edom there in verses 5 through 9. And now in verses 10 through 14, we have the denunciation, condemned openly and strongly here in verses 10 through 14. Here are the reasons. And we can apply them to ourselves. We can apply them to our own situation here at Pleasant Hill. We can apply them to the land we live in. The first reason that is given here in verses 10 through 14 for the absolute strong denunciation of Edom, she is denounced, she is condemned openly and strongly. Number one is in verse 10, they are being condemned for unbrotherliness. Unbrotherliness. I should have found some other word. She was not brotherly. Edom was not. Esau, the descendants of Esau, Edom was not brotherly to his brother Jacob, to God's people, to the Jews, to Judah. You know the account of the twin sons of Isaac and Rebekah? How Esau, he despised his birthright and he sold it to Jacob in a weak physical moment. He despises his birthright, and how Jacob tricked Isaac. Jacob tricked his brother, he tricked his father, and he received his brother Esau's blessing. The hatred that Esau felt toward Jacob continued in his descendants. And you can read about that in Numbers chapter 20, verses 14 to 21. Edom refused to allow Israel to pass through its land. Saul defeated the Edomites. David also did. And the enmity continued between Esau and Jacob. They are denounced here in Obadiah. It says in verse 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee. And thou shalt be cut off for how long? Forever. Because of this hatred for the brother, this judgment would be handed down. The second reason, here in 10 to 14, for the denunciation and the judgment pronounced upon Edom, is for aloofness. Aloofness. You know what that word aloofness means. Verses 11 and 12, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, you just stood there on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother. Kind of like haughtily. Kind of like mockingly. You should not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in a day of distress. Aloofness. Edom looked upon those who were suffering, upon the brother here, upon these relatives, with aloofness, with mockery. Ha! Look what's happening to you. And if we're not careful, we can fall into that same trap and think, ha, well, that'll never happen to me. They're greater sinners than us, like the ones at the Tower of Siloam fell on. What did Jesus conclude out of that? There in Luke chapter 13, I believe. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You know, the blood was mingled with, the Galileans mingled blood with their sacrifices, and then the Tower of Siloam that fell on some. You think you're much better than them? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. A lesson that we can certainly take from the way Edom mocked and stood aloof as judgment fell upon Jerusalem. They looked upon Jerusalem with gloating. It's a progression of sin here in verse 11, the beginning of a progression of sin, of crime that the Edomites committed against God's people. And that's another thing to keep in our minds as we go through this thing of Obadiah and where we are today. You know as well as I, the Bible makes it very clear that those that bless his nation Israel, his people Israel, shall be blessed. And they that curse Israel shall be cursed. Where are we headed? Where are we headed as a people with that, in that regard? Our prayers indeed need to be with the people in Ukraine. And we have brothers and sisters over there, and some of you more than others of us have gotten to know them very well and love them as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we all do. And they certainly need our prayers. But let's not forget Israel. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as the Bible tells us. And let's be there for them and hold them up before the throne of God. The next thing we see here for Edom being denounced so strongly, the third thing is their aggressiveness in verses 13 through 14. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. They took advantage. They took advantage of what the enemies were, how vulnerable they were making them. And they took advantage of that. You should not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. When they were weak and defenseless, the Edomites laid hands on what belonged to Judah, to Jerusalem. And they took total advantage there. Neither shouldest thou, in verse 14, have stood in the crossway, the crossroads. They stood there right where some Jews were trying to escape. And they stood there and waited on them, and they cut them off. And they kept them from escaping. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. And so they are denounced for their aggressiveness. They took advantage of the situation and made matters worse for God's people. Edom actively participated here in looting. That's what it's talking about here in verse 13 and 14. They looted. They looted Jerusalem. And they set up roadblocks right there in the crossroads. They set up roadblocks and helped capture escaping Jews. Verses 15 through 21, we have the destruction of Edom and ultimate justice for Israel. Ultimate justice for Israel. Destruction of Edom, verses 15 and 16. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. How does it say it there? If we reap to the flesh, we of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There in Galatians chapter 6. It's what that reminds me of here. Here in Obadiah 15, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. The destruction of Edom. Edom was laid waste by the Chaldeans and the Maccabees. Again, later. And then you see God's hand against Edom. You can read about it in Isaiah chapter 63. I won't go there. Verse 10 here says that Esau would be cut off forever. Here in the chapter we're going through, Obadiah verse 10, would be cut off forever. The Maccabees forced the Edomites to conform to Jewish laws and rites. The Edomites were effectively absorbed into the Jewish nation. They lost their identity. They were absorbed into the Jewish culture. From this time on, they disappear from history as a separate people. What did it say there in Obadiah verse 10? Forever. It was complete. Verse 15, we read a phrase there. I don't know if you caught it. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord refers to the time when God will pour out his wrath upon all the wicked. All the wicked will have God's wrath poured out upon them in the day of the Lord. It will begin the same day that the saved are raptured. I guess I should say this is what I believe, that the scripture teaches. Remember how it says, as in the days of Noah, Matthew chapter 24? As it was in the days of Noah. The ark was built. Those eight souls entered it. And in the very day that they entered it, judgment fell. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah. And I'm saying tonight that this day of the Lord, it will begin the same day that the saved are raptured. The day of the Lord will cut off, it will cut short the great tribulation by Antichrist toward the end of the 70th week of Daniel. Except for the rapture and the day of the Lord, none would survive against Antichrist's onslaught. The day of the Lord includes God's trumpet and bold judgments, and it will end with the battle of Armageddon. Verses 17 through 21 here in Obadiah, Israel's ultimate triumph. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharvad, shall possess the cities of the south. And Savior shall come up on the Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. God's people will always prevail. God's people will be saved. God will reign supreme. The Lord Jesus Christ will reign from the throne of David in that new Jerusalem, and his kingdom shall last forever. Even as the enemy is cut off forever, the Lord's kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom will be forever. We see God's ultimate justice, his righteousness, and his holiness will prevail. What was Edom's sin and downfall? I believe, number one, it was pride. What gets us in trouble as individuals, probably quicker than anything else, I'm going to say tonight, it's no doubt pride. A proudness that we can stand alone, that we can make our way ourselves, and that we don't need God. And we don't need God's people. We don't need, like America saying, we don't need Israel. Do you realize what a huge ally the United States of America has been for that little tiny nation, Israel, that's surrounded by enemies? You know what the United States has meant to her? Pride says, we don't need God and we don't need God's people. The wicked will be destroyed. The righteous will be saved. As we speed toward the end of all time, and the day of the Lord draws nigh, and our redemption draweth nigh, and the Lord Jesus Christ's return draws nigh, my peace and my consolation, my security, I will share with you tonight. The Bible makes it very plain that God is completely in control of the affairs of mankind. Election year or no election year, God Almighty in the heavens above is in total control of anything that takes place here on this earth. And what he allows, he is allowing to fulfill his ultimate purpose and to bring the end to pass. The day of the Lord will come. We struggle. I struggle. I admit it tonight. I struggle with seeing it happen before my very eyes. I don't have grandchildren, but a lot of you do. And it's not easy. Brothers and sisters, tonight, may our faith be strong, and may it be rooted in the Word of God, and may it be rooted in God Almighty and in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has it in his almighty hand, and nothing will overcome him. The Bible makes it very clear that he sets up kings and he puts down kings. He puts them there for his purpose. They are pawns in his hand. There's not a ruler in this world today that's not a pawn in God Almighty's hand. Hallelujah.
One of the jobs of a moderator is to find someone to open and close. I figured I'd open, and as I was sitting back there, I realized I didn't find anyone to close either. So when things, like Glenn was saying, things happen behind the scenes, and when they don't go right, you notice it. A couple of things that stood out to me tonight as Glenn was speaking, as we can see the pride of a nation in Edom. If you turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, Sunday school teacher mentioned this morning. It's talking about Israel here. Verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might, the might of mine, have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant that he sware unto thy fathers, that it is in this day. And it shall be, if thou do all that forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. That's the Lord talking to his own children of Israel. says when they went into the land of Israel, God told them, don't think that I'm destroying these nations so you can have a place to live. Because of disobedience, I'm taking them out. Now you have a place to live. So if you ever fall into disobedience, don't think you're any better. You're going to be removed. If you turn back, that's the sin of pride of a nation. If we turn back to Jude, we think the pride of an individual. Back to Jude, another book of the Bible that's just one chapter. Verses 5 and 6. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved his people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. He saved them out of Egypt. He brought them out of the bondage that was there. But those that believed not, he had destroyed. And the angels was kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation he hath reserved into everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. So God judges nations for pride. He judges, I believe, congregations or local nations for pride, and he judges individuals because of pride as well. Let's stand for prayer.